Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Glory to God, and have people thankful for the United States of America. We've got a nation that was founded on its God, in whom we are to trust. And that's what's made America such a strong, blessed nation. Our founding fathers, the ones that founded our nation, weren't just political men, they were spiritual men. No, I didn't say religious men, I said spiritual men. See, they didn't just have religion. These men had a strong relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were bold about sharing their faith. They talked a lot about their faith, but it was these founding fathers, it was their convictions, their faith in God that caused America to become so great, caused them to overcome the world. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And they overcame that great world power of their day, Great Britain. Great Britain was the world power of the day with a very feared navy. And yet these men fearlessly faced down the British. They faced them down, overcame them, but it was because of their faith in God. And if you really read the true history of our nation and really look at the true history of George Washington and great founders in the faith like Alexander Hamilton, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Samuel Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, John Jay. When you look at these men and when you read about their lives, some of the victories they got were nothing short of the miraculous, total divine intervention as they prayed, waited on God, believed God, and he came through for them. And you just see that in history. And I say, you know, the true history, you got to watch what you read today, because there's a lot of folks that are rewriting history. And I mean, you know, I've seen some documentaries that just I couldn't finish watching. They were just so full of fake history. Fake history. I mean, they turned some of these great men, holy men of God, into gluttons, into wine bibbers, into whoremongers. I mean, they talked about George Washington like he had all these affairs and all these perverted things going. The man was a holy man of God, a God-fearing man. You got to watch the documentaries and the movies that you watch. And you got to watch the books that you read, because we're living in a time where they are rewriting history. They're trying to change our history. And of course, that's one of the tactics of communism, Marxism. To take over a nation, you have to rewrite their history. You got to erase their history, rewrite their history. And that's one of the tactics. And you see that happening so plainly today, in our society, in our country today. I mean, they're pulling down monuments. They're going back to the Revolutionary War, going back to some of our founding fathers, reduced them to slave owners. These were corrupt men. These were terrible men. But the truth of the matter is, slavery was a part of society back then, and a lot of them, if you were a slave, would like to have been a slave under them. Because they had compassion. Some of them actually purchased slaves so that they could have compassion on them and give them a covering and give them protection in life. You're not going to hear about that today. You're going to hear only negative things. These are terrible men, terrible men. But no, they were God-fearing men. And it was in God that they trusted, and they taught this nation to trust in God. And the people that are rewriting history, they want to remove everything about God, because communism is all about atheism. It's not about God. You know, you got to go back to what did these men, what was the fruit of their life? They brought liberty and justice to all. America has changed so dramatically just in my lifetime. And I haven't been around, you know, too long. But it's amazing how much things have changed. I mean, when I was little, I mean, you couldn't find places that were open on Sunday because we honored the Lord's Day. I mean, it was hard to find a gas station open. Sometimes you couldn't even find a gas station. And then, you know, I remember, you know, the bars would be open. They would open up later, though, than usual on Sunday. But a gas station popped up here, a beverage place popped up here where you can get your soda and beer and whatever you needed to be able to go to the beach and things like that. I was raised in New York. There was a beach over there. And then one by one, then the store started opening up. And now today, you can't even hardly finish your Thanksgiving dinner. And people are running off to shop the best deals. How far we have, and trust me, they're coming after Christmas. They would love to have you shopping on Christmas Day. They just want to erase our history, stop our honoring of God and the things that our founding fathers had established in our nation. They had established this nation on the Word of God. The principles of our Constitution are found in Scripture. These men loved God. They loved the Word of God. In fact, I have some quotes, just a couple quotes. You know, you can look, you could Google this, and you could look at all the founding fathers, and they all quoted God freely. And I mean, documented statements about God and their trust in God, their faith in God. They were bold. I got a picture in my office where, you know, our founding fathers, they were all praying. And I mean, these guys are on their knees. They got their hands lifted to God. It's not some little dignified prayer. From what I understand, these guys were speaking in tongues. They were crying out to God. I mean, they were bold. They were loud about their faith. They weren't just dignified and trying to hide it from everybody. Here are some quotes. Here's John Adams. He says, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God." Well, you're not going to hear that on the evening news. I said, you're not going to hear quotes like that on the evening news. You got to dig for these things. He also said, "The Holy Ghost carries on the whole Christian system in the earth. Not a baptism, not a marriage, not a sacrament can be administered but by the Holy Ghost. There is no authority, civil or religious. There can be no legitimate government but what is administered by this Holy Ghost. There can be no salvation without it. All without it is rebellion and perdition, or in more orthodox words, damnation." So he's saying you can't do nothing without the Holy Ghost. This is a founder of our nation. He said a nation isn't going to make it without the Holy Ghost. This man was a spirit-filled, tongue-talking lover of God. I mean, where do you find even a Christian today standing up and saying these things? It's in most churches, they won't even say such a thing. I mean, in most churches, the Holy Ghost, we keep him in the back room, if even that. There's no acknowledgement of his presence and his power. And when you take the Spirit away from the Word, the Bible says it just kills. It's just death. You got to have the Holy Ghost. Our founders understood that. He obviously felt comfortable enough to say that in front of the whole nation at that time. He felt comfortable enough to say that around the other founding fathers. Why? Because they're all like, "Amen, brother." That's why. It was easy to talk this way. "Amen, brother." America's a Christian nation. There's people that have stood up and said, America's not a Christian nation. It's always been secular. That is a blatant lie. And yet most people are not studying these things out, researching them for themselves. And so they're buying into the lie. Thus, history is being rewritten. And it's the removal of God. It's God being removed from history. Because if you take God out of our history, then the nation's history. You're not going to have God in the future. We got to go back to our founding. What caused us to be blessed if we want to continue to be a blessed nation? Samuel Adams, he says, I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins. The name of the Lord, says the scripture, is a strong tower. Thither the righteous flee and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Let us secure his favor, and he will lead us through the journey of this life and at length receive us to a better. Let's follow in the footsteps of... How many think it's a good idea to follow in the footsteps of Samuel Adams that stood up and spoke like this? Benjamin Franklin. As to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you are... You particularly desire, I think the system of morals and his religion as he left them to us, the best the world ever saw or is likely to see. So again, he's referring to Jesus, he's referring to Christianity. Christianity. So yes, we are a Christian nation. And as long as we remain a Christian nation, our nation is going to be a blessed nation. But again, there are people that are trying to change our history. They're trying to remove our ancient landmarks. And the Bible has a lot to say about that because the Bible, God, knows the enemy's tactic, how the enemy destroys people's lives. It's by removing these ancient landmarks. Notice over here in Proverbs chapter 22, in verse 28, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set up. Notice that there are landmarks that are set up, and the Bible says, do not remove them. And again, there's lots of scriptures on this. You go to Deuteronomy, the Old Testament, lots of scriptures on this. I'm just looking at a few. Proverbs 23:10, again, he says, do not remove the ancient landmark, nor enter the fields of the fatherless. Notice landmark, again, is attached to fathers. And here it's talking about fatherless. Again, if we can disconnect this nation, the people of this generation from the fathers, from our Christian founding fathers, if we can change that history, we can make them fatherless. Fatherless. Not just talking about a person's earthly dad. We're talking about fatherless in terms of not having a founding father. Being disconnected from our founding fathers would make us fatherless, which would make life very difficult. Very difficult for us here in America. Job 24, and in verse 2, he says this. He says, some remove landmarks. They seize flocks violently and feed on them. They drive away the donkey of the fatherless. Notice again. Remove the landmarks, you removed the history of your fathers. And what does that do? That makes you a prey to the enemy. That makes you a prey to the adversary. And there's folks that understand that. There's folks that want to plunder this nation. There's people right now in government and wanting to be in government. There's people that they want to remove the landmarks of our founding fathers so that they can plunder us, rob us of the blessings
that God has for us. Because if we hold fast to the landmarks, if we hold fast to our Christian values, if we hold fast to the faith of our founding fathers, then we're going to stand strong against tyranny. We're going to stand strong against the enemy, the devil, who comes through people to steal, kill, and destroy. We're going to be a strong nation. So you got to weaken the nation. How do you do that? Start moving the landmarks. Start changing these landmarks, these great landmarks of the Christian faith. We need to remove those, the doctrines and the teachings of our founding fathers, these statements that we're reading. We need to rid that. We need to change what these men were like. We need to turn them into something else other than God-fearing, Bible-toting, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers. We got to turn them into something else. And some of you, I could tell already just by, you know, you could feel it. We have had history being rewritten in our minds. Because if you watch the news, if you're in college, whatever, you're having history rewritten in your mind. And so even hearing these things, sometimes it's a little tough. It's a little tough, but we need to change our thinking. Get back to the Word of God. Get our minds renewed with the Word of God. Get back to the truth of what history is. Get back to these quotes. Get back to the faith of our founding fathers. Because that's the secret to being blessed and no longer being dominated by tyrants possessed of the devil. We got to get back to these great landmarks of the Christian faith. But modern reasoning today, you know, it says, well, you know, we need to come up to date. We need to change things. You know, even the Constitution is under assault right now. You know, there's people, they want to change the Constitution. There's judges right now that have no regard for our Constitution. I mean, well, that's what they're supposed to be basing their decisions on. But they have actually no regard. It's based on their feelings, how they see it. It's not how you see it. It's how it's written in the Constitution, which was founded on principles founded in the Word of God. I don't know, it was Judge Judy or one of these TV judges. I remember one time they started off the program talking about, you know, actually saying that I decided how I see it. Well, it's not how you see it. It's how the Constitution says it. It's not based on your feelings and your opinions, Mrs. Judge. It's based on the Word of God. Hello, somebody. Just as Christians, we don't base decisions and our judgment of things on our feelings. We base it on Scripture. What does the Bible say? People come and say, what's your opinion? Well, I'll give you what the Bible says. I don't have, you know, much in regards to a personal opinion that's separate from the Bible. If I have an opinion that's separate from the Bible, it isn't really worth much. This is eternal. This is proven. This works. And if I have an opinion that's actually contrary to the Bible, it's death. I said it's death. It's failure. Everything has to line up with the Word of God. So, you know, again, we have to watch about this removal of these ancient landmarks and saying, well, you know, times have changed. I mean, they're doing it in the church world like crazy now, you know. That's why the Holy Ghost isn't cool. Holy Ghost isn't cool. He's not hip, you know. I mean, you know, you can't be speaking in tongues and expect people to come to your church, you know. I mean, you start speaking in tongues in church, boy, people are going to get nervous, okay? Well, get nervous, but find out it's God and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's join John Adams, Samuel Adams. Let's join them in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? I mean, we can't just be worried about making people uncomfortable. If we're going to move on to bigger and greater things that God has for us, we've got to get uncomfortable. Every one of us has to be willing to live uncomfortable. It can't always be comfy cozy where we're just around what we're familiar with. How many people, there's a lot of things in God we have not seen yet. There's a lot of things we have not experienced yet, but I want to experience them. But we won't if we are a people that have to keep things familiar, keep things, you know, in the realm of our comfort zone, we have to be willing to break out of our comfort zone. We have to be willing to change. I mean, I came to Jesus. I wasn't a tongue talker. I wasn't a Bible-toting person. But I got saved, and I got around some peculiar people that like to lift their hands up, that like to praise God with a loud voice. They liked this shouting, and they did this tongue talking. And did I think it was crazy? No, I thought it was different. But I was open. I was open. And because I was open, God was able to teach me, and I became one of them. Kind of like the body snatchers, you know. Spirit of God gets open up, boy, he comes in. And then you just become like him. Amen. But we got to watch, because there's this removal of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We got to get back to these landmarks instead of moving forward to new horizons and leaving the old behind. We need to go backwards, because that's the key to blessing. That's the key to success. We got to go back to the ancient landmarks of moral value, right? I mean, people have lost their moral compass because they've lost their way. They're fatherless in the sense that they don't know the founding fathers. They don't know what made this country great. They don't understand the principles of Christianity. They've left moral values. And now we've got a very perverse and immoral generation, and people don't even know there's anything wrong with being immoral. We've got a whole generation that thinks immoral is normal. What happened? They removed the landmarks of snakes. They came in and they started sneaking it out. They took it out of our school. I mean, it's amazing how in school today, you know, you can't even show up with a Bible without it being a problem. You can walk in there with some kind of satanic rock group t-shirt, but if you walk in there with something about God, you might get kicked out. You might get in trouble, especially teachers. They got to watch what they put on their walls in their classroom and everything else. They can acknowledge every other thing except God. And meanwhile, it was just the opposite. At our founding and when schools were being raised up in America, the Bible was the main and in some cases only textbook. And they learned everything from the Bible. And yet now, we're not even supposed to have a Bible in our school. You see how far we have come. How far we have fallen. We need to get back. We need to get back to moral values, spiritual truth, Bible basics. But you'll find that those that talk ill of our founding fathers, speak evil of them, they also have a great contempt or disdain towards America, the land itself. They despise the land. They despise the words of our founding fathers. They despise the founding fathers. And they despise the land itself. And it's not new. It goes back even to the nation of Israel. You see these same things with the children of Israel being led by Moses out of Egypt. I mean, God is doing miracles for them. He's bringing them out from under tyranny. He's bringing them into liberty. He's got a great land for them. And as they're going forth, so many of them despised their spiritual father, the one that God had assigned to lead them. They despised Moses. You know, in the case of when they made the golden calf, how many people are familiar with that story where Moses goes up a mountain, he's praying, he's spending time with God. God's given him all kinds of instruction for the nation. And the children of Israel, they decide they're going to make a golden calf. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 32, Exodus 32 and in verse 1, it says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us.'" Now watch how they talk here. "For As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. I mean, the man took off for about a month. I mean, it might have just been a couple weeks after he departed up the mountain before all this happened. And notice how they're talking about it. As for this man, Moses. As for this man, Moses. Like he's, you could hear the contempt in their voices. As for this man, Moses, who brought us out of the land of Egypt. No. Let's get this right. God brought you out of the land of Egypt through this man of God, Moses. Let's get things in its proper perspective here. And many times the ones that were leading the children of Israel to talk like this, to talk with such contempt towards Moses, these were those that wanted to be leaders themselves. They wanted control over the people. They wanted to dominate the people's lives. They wanted to be esteemed and admired. And they were jealous of Moses. So here, they're cutting him down. Just making him like just any old man. Who is this man, Moses? Who is this guy? What's happened to him? We don't know what's become of him. You know, we don't really know what's happened to him. This is how they were treating this man of God who was led by God, who miraculously, by the power of God, brought them out of Egypt. See, they're just trying to turn him into just an anybody. Really a nobody, because we don't even know what's happened to him. They wanted to bring him down from something special that God has anointed and appointed to help lead them into liberty and set them free. They want to just turn him into just anybody and even a nobody. What has happened? Just kind of erase Moses from their minds. Let's do something new. Let's just start something new. Let's find ourselves another leader. Over in Numbers chapter 14, in verse 31, God, speaking back to the children of Israel, in verse 31 of chapter 14, he says, "But your little ones, whom you said would be victims," because they were always whining, and going, "Our kids are going to die in the wilderness. We're so worried about our kids." It's amazing how many people will not follow God into the plan that he has for their life because of their kids. Well, my kids. There's a lady here in the church. I won't call her out this time, but she's been with us for years. But when she first started coming to the church, that was a thought that the enemy put in her mind. Because, you know, we were having a Holy Ghost service, you know. She came, she was visiting the church. This thought came to her mind, now, your family would never come to a church like this. Your family would never come to a church like this. So, in other words, just get out of here. Because you'll never be able to get your family saved. You'll never get your family serving God in the church because they wouldn't come to a church like this. But then she, even though some of it was crazy, because she wasn't used to it, she hung onto the horns of the altar and she recognized, no, this is the truth. She recognized the truth was being preached, was being spoken. And she made a decision. She drew the line and said, no, I'm not leaving. She's left several other places. I'm not leaving. She drew the line in the sand and she said, I'm not leaving. Well, praise God, her whole family ended up coming in to the kingdom, to the church. We all love each other. It's a beautiful relationship. But see, a lot of folks, I know a lot of other folks, they followed that voice that said, oh, your kids will be victims. Your kids will be victims of the devil if you go this way. You got to go the way that your kids find hip and cool. You got to do what makes your family happy. Put your family first. No, put God first. Putting your family first could destroy you and your family. Put God first. And though it might look like it's going the wrong way, just hang on. It ain't over till it's over. He's a redeemer. In God we trust. He'll turn this thing around. But he can't do much with people that don't follow him, that will not trust in him. And so here they were, well, our children are going to be victims if we keep following God like this. So the Lord says, your little ones whom you said would be victims, I will bring in into this great promised land, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. So God's just telling them, this is what's going to happen because of what you have chosen. I'm not going to do it to you. It's just the consequences. What you sow, you reap. You've sowed this way, and now you're going to reap accordingly. See? That's what's going to happen. He's just informing them what's going to happen. He's not being mean. He's just telling them, this is what you've chosen. This is what you're going to get. If you go that way, there's a way that leads to life, and there's a way that leads to death. I'm going to go the way of life. How about you? I'm going to keep going, too. You know, how many people know it's not over yet for us? We still got a journey to this. We might have done good up to this point, but it ain't over till it's over. You know, you got to watch about patting yourself on the back too much. You know, let's cross the finish line, right? Let's step into heaven and go, I did it. I ran my race. I finished what God has called me to do. And until that happens, we're going to keep our focus on the Lord. We're going to stay sober-minded. We're not going to allow ourselves to become delusional and be taken off course and knocked out of the purpose and plan of God for our life. But notice, they despised Moses in Exodus 32, and here in Numbers 14, here he says, the land which you have despised. They despised the land, which today would be the nation of Israel. In Numbers chapter 11, in verse 5, here's the children of Israel whining and complaining again. We remember, verse 5, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. I mean, God's brought them out of Egypt. They're in a wilderness, but that's not where they're supposed to stay. He's got this great promised land for them. But they can't get into it because they keep thinking about Egypt. They keep thinking about what he delivered them out of. And they're longing for it. They're actually talking about their time as slaves. Talking about this time of enslavement as though it was this great time of feasting and enjoying life. It's amazing how people get history all rewritten in their heads. I mean, they've rewritten history here. Look what they say. We remember when we were being beaten and whipped and forced to work day and night. No, they don't remember that. No, we don't remember that. What do we remember? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. We were so free, weren't we? They were slaves. We ate fish freely in Egypt. The cucumbers. These people want to sell God out for a cucumber. Can you imagine that? The melons. The leeks. The onions and the garlic and mama's tomato sauce. You think these people are Italian. They're Jewish. Talking like they want to go back to Italy. Incredible. Verse 6. But now, our whole being is dry. Not now. God is supernaturally providing us out here in the wilderness. When was the last time you were beaten? I haven't been beaten in years, bless God. I don't even have wounds anymore. All my sores are healed up. God's been so good. We got totally healed and taken care of when we came out of Egypt. My crippled body's been healed. Grandma's crippled body's been healed. Everything's been turned around for us. Look at where we are now. That's not what I talk. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. There's nothing at all except this manna. They despised it. They despised the provision that God was giving them. So they despised their leader, their founding father, Moses. They despised the land. And they despised the food that God was supernaturally providing for them. And how many people know that the manna in the Word of God is a type of the Word of God? The daily bread that he gives us, the bread of life, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, revelation of the truth. This is what feeds us. This is what sustains us in life. Man does not live by natural bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so that is our food. And so today, it's a lot the same way. You see people despising spiritual leaders in the church, despising the churches, and despising the teaching, despising the word of God. There's people that are taking so much of the New Testament, they're saying that doesn't apply to us today. That isn't relevant for the church today. That was for back then. That's not for now. And they're just tearing pages out of the Bible, trying to erase history, remove our landmarks. Why? So that they can plunder us, so that they can gather people to themselves and take them captive, that they might feed on flocks, as it says over in Job, violently seizing the flocks and feeding on them. That's what so much of what is going on in the world today. You see over in Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, talking about spiritual food. It says in verse 7, the Lord speaking, he says, "You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible." So in other words, again, what's being presented as the table of the Lord, the word of God, the sacraments, they're treating it with contempt. In other words, they're despising it. They're treating it lightly. They're treating it as unimportant. And the Lord's saying, you offer defiled food. You know, you could praise God and worship God, but if you reject his word, he says it's an abomination to him. Anybody that offers praise and prayer to him and despises the word, the Bible says, is an abomination to him. So it's defiled. It's defiled. We need to exalt the word above all else because God has. He's exalted his word above everything. We need to keep the word exalted above everything. Amen. And so when we're praying in line with the word. When we're praising him in line with the word. You know, you got to say, is what's happening here in line with the word? That's the big thing. Is it in line with the word? So many have departed from the word. We got to stick with the word. And if you love the word, you're going to love those that serve the word. And you're going to love the place where the word is served. You know, I'm reminded of Jacob, the son of Isaac, who is the son of Abraham. And how he was leaving home and he went to sleep one night. And he set this rock as a pillow for his head and went to sleep. And he had a dream and he saw a ladder reaching up into heaven. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon this ladder. And God spoke to him in that place. And when he woke up, he said, "I didn't realize it. This is none other than the house of God. This, how awesome is this place," is what he said. "How awesome is this place, this house of God. This is the place where God speaks to us." He was a man that highly esteemed his birthright. He highly esteemed the things of the Spirit. He highly esteemed the things of God. And so he esteemed that place. He took oil and poured it on the rock that he'd set his head on, and he made a monument there, set it up as a pillar of remembrance, like an ancient landmark. He set it up to remind him and everyone else, this is an awesome place. This is none other than the house of God, the gateway to heaven. So the voice that spoke to him was awesome. But he esteemed even the place where that voice came through, where that voice spoke to him. See, such is the heart of faith. It's a heart of honor. We honor God. We honor everything that touches God. The Bible says, if you fear God, then you're going to love those who fear God. But if you despise God, you'll despise those who fear God. But many times people don't admit that they despise God. Nobody admits they despise God. They just despise that minister. They just despise that church. They just treat this word with contempt, but not God. But the truth is, if you love God, you love all of God's things. I said you love his word, and you love what he packages it in, and he loves who ministers it. That's just how it works. And if you start having contempt towards the brethren, and you start treating with contempt the church, and you start treating with contempt the leadership, and you're like, I don't know, you know, and you got all this doubt and all this unbelief towards leadership, towards church members, it is a reflection of your attitude towards God. So we have to catch ourselves. We can't allow ourselves to fall into the lie of the devil. It's a snare, it's a trap that gets people to think that they're loving God while they're despising the church, despising the leadership of the church, and treating the word of God lightly. It's a trap. We got to recognize, wait a second. If I love God, if I'm passionate for God, then I'm hot for God's house. I'm hot for God's people. Well, I don't believe as a Christian you have to go to church. No, but you want to if you're a real Christian. I mean, if you're a Christian in every sense of the word, if you are a Christian that really is full of the Holy Ghost, loves God, loves the word, then you want to get into the house of God. Like the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on, somebody, don't make me preach now. Let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I wasn't mad. Dragging me off to Sunday school. Oh, it's a big burden to get to the house of God. That's a reflection. I'm sorry. It's a reflection of your faith in God. If church is a burden, it's a reflection. So we have to recognize that. Am I losing my fire, my zeal, my zest for God, for the things of the Spirit? We need to keep ourselves filled and overflowing, praise God, full of faith, believing the best, excited to hear the word, expectant, receptive of everything God wants to talk to us about. Hallelujah. We don't want to be like these folks in Israel that Malachi, God speaking through Malachi, was rebuking. He says also in Malachi chapter 1, verse 12, he says, but you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food is contemptible. It's contemptible. Watch about doubting the word of God just for the sake of doubting it. You know, I've watched people, you know, people get, they're so fired, they're so hungry. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, it says, every bitter morsel is sweet to the hungry soul. I mean, somebody is hungry for God, they aren't sitting there cross-examining what's being ministered. Now, we don't have this problem here, thank God. But God still, he still puts this word in us to protect us. Because there's an enemy that would try to undermine us. You don't get into this place of, I don't know, I'm not sure. All this doubt and unbelief. If you're a hungry soul, you will eat it all up. And if something's not right, you'll spit it out. And just keep moving. It's like you don't sit there and focus on what you're not sure about. You don't focus in on things that are questionable. You know, you can deliver something that's 98% pure right off of the hot presses of heaven. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, this thing's just rolling from the throne. And then there's 2% in there of some personality. Nothing real poisonous, just not. It's not rolling off, you know, it's not just flowing. It doesn't have the smoke and the smell. You know what I'm saying? And folks will walk away, they'll reject the whole thing because of that 2%. That is not a hungry soul. That is not somebody that's really fired up for God and for the word of God. That's not what you do. The hungry soul will go into a place where it's 98% stale, dried up, old and crusty. You understand what I'm saying? This thing has been on the shelf. It ain't fresh. The minister is serving it. You know what I'm saying? He's laying it out there. And it's not nice. It's not good. But there's 2% of like an icing that's on top of it. You know, it's got some, it's fresh. They put a little fresh cover up on it. Reminds me of a Mexican restaurant I once went into. But at the same time, we're not critical people. That's the point. We're not these critical, judgmental, uncertain, doubtful. We're faith people. We find the best in everybody and in everything because we're people of faith and we walk in the love of God. So the Lord goes on in Malachi. He says, therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people because you have not kept my ways but have shown partiality in the law. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you can see the way the church was starting to treat the Apostle Paul. He had founded all these churches. They all started with revivals. And then these people creep in. And they're trying to undermine history, rewrite, as for this Moses. They're trying to rewrite history. They did the same thing with the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Notice this statement they made. They said, for his letters, they are weighty and powerful. But his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Well, you know, it starts off sounding good. Well, his letters are weighty and powerful. But by the time they were done with him, you wouldn't want to read his letters. Because he's contemptible. He's weak. He's really not as powerful as he said. The letters, he's a great writer, but you got to know the writer. And he wasn't... He's weak. His speech is contemptible. It's full of things that aren't right. Do you see that? This is how they creep in. How the enemy gets these wolves to come in and undermine a nation, undermine a church, undermine a family, undermine people's lives by removing the ancient landmarks, by rewriting history. That's why, my friend, never get away from the history book of the Word of God. You got to watch. There's a lot of stuff out there on the internet. And there's a lot of doctrines out there. And there's a lot of all kinds of different teachings out there. Just always come back to the Bible. And go back to where God has fed your faith. Go back to that. Go back to the founding, to the roots of where your faith was strengthened and nourished. We learned of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and divine healing and the power of God. I never want to get away from it. I'm telling you, I went to a Holy Ghost Bible school whose leader was raised up off a deathbed. He was born with a deformed heart, incurable blood disease, got a hold of faith in the Word of God and understood God as a healer and was raised up, was healed, had a powerful healing miracle ministry throughout his life. But as soon as he died, I mean, just as fast as you could imagine, people just started departing from their roots, just started departing from healing and miracles and the power of the Holy Spirit and faith in God, and started questioning it and started getting into all kinds of marketing strategies on how to win people and make friends and get people to come to your church. And this is how you do it. You got to get rid of this, all this power stuff, and you got to do these nice friendly things that make people want to be there. Get rid of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because that makes people uncomfortable. And watch about fiery preaching. You got to watch. You got to talk very softly to people, because people are delicate and they don't want to be yelled at. I mean, I fail terribly. I know this. I had somebody, they write us or call us. They left a phone message. I was listening to you on the radio. Hey, it was a great message and everything. I just want to give you a little advice, just a little tip, you know. This is an answer to the message. Just want to give you a little tip, you know. You could be taken as like being angry. So you know, you might want to just like change the way you say some things, because you can come across sounding very angry. And I don't know, I just never followed his wisdom. I've tried to conform, but I keep going back to the Word, and something like fire keeps getting rise up in my bones, you know, and I just can't hold it back. I got to get loud and excited. And shout sometimes. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. Sorry. I'm starting to go there. Not on Sunday morning. You don't do that on Sunday morning. That's what they tell you. I have books. Books, I don't read them, but I have books. They send it to you. Demons, I mean people. They send you these manuals on how you do it. This is how you do it. If you don't do it this way, your church is going to die. I was told that. I read this manual several years ago. I read this manual, and it said, if you don't do these seven things, if your church is doing these things, and it's not doing these things, your church is dying. And it's only a matter of, like, a year or two. You're going to be gone. That's what it said. And I read it, and I looked at it, and I said, everything we're not supposed to be doing, I'm doing. And everything that we should be doing, I don't do. And I tried. For a little while, I tried. I thought, okay, let's try to do this. I don't want to die. I don't want the church to die. God, I don't want the church to die. But then, you know, I was getting away from the Bible. And I couldn't go very far. There's like this, there's this bungee cord that just snaps me back. And it was like, don't listen to that nonsense. Will you stay with me, please? I said, yes, Lord. And I got you. So I'm rewarded. I'm very rewarded. Hallelujah! Glory to God forever. Somebody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the ancient landmarks. Amen. Praise God. Some have been removed, but bless God, we're here in this generation to put them back. I said, we're putting them back. I'm replanting. I'm redigging the wells of our fathers that our fathers have dug that have been filled in with earth. We're redigging the wells. Amen. That's what we're doing. We're bringing God back into this land again. We're bringing God back into America again. Get us back all the way back. Why not? Can't we go all the way back? We can do it. We can do it. I believe there's a hungry generation of people out there. They're disillusioned. They've tried everything. They're confused. They want this. They just don't know it's there. But bless God, we're going to make it known. That's what we're going to do while we're here. We're going to pray about it, believe God for it, and do everything we can to get the Word and the Spirit out. Can you say amen? Praise God forever. Hallelujah!
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.